Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
AJC's DogNations.com. Mike Griffith making his debut here on the morning show. I'm glad to have you, Mike. How are you today?
Doing well, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, great to have you aboard. For anyone listening, you know, a lot of Chip Towers has been here forever, and our man BA, who does the podcast every day, I'm familiar with him. But tell the Georgia fans listening in your background and what you'll be doing covering the Bulldogs.
Oh, wow. Well, I've covered college football for 25 years. I've done Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Michigan State. Freshman All-American chairman for the Football Writers Association. I was the president of the Football Writers Association in 2007. So been doing it a long time and just knocking out the daily grind.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a labor of love, right?
Well, I mean, it's a lifestyle. I mean, it's like any other career. If you're going to do something that you love, you know, you go all out and you do what you got to do to make it work, whatever hours, whatever commitments, whatever sacrifices. And I said college football has been good to me, so it's something that I enjoy doing. And, you know, it's a good time to be covering Georgia football.
I tell you what, can you, man, can you believe what has happened since Kirby Smart took over? And you said you've covered Alabama before, and I think, you know, from us looking from the inside out, as far as Georgia people go, I mean, it looks like this makeover is mimicking a lot of what Alabama has done, and so far, it is potentially working that way. Do you agree with that too? That's what's going on here in Athens?
Well, you know, I don't know how, you know, Georgia's always been a great program. I mean, they've been close for a long time. You know, they were close last year. I mean, if they beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, I mean, it's the same discussion, right? A few years ago, when they played Alabama.
Yeah,
in
2012, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were right there then, too, and that's kind of where this team is. I mean, so, you know, to me, you know, Georgia's football has been a great program for a long time. I don't think it's as simple as saying it's just like Alabama. I don't, you know, just my thoughts on it, and not to, you know, disagree too much, but, you know, I think that's kind of an insult to Kirby Smart. I mean, I think he's his own coach. You know, when I covered Michigan State, Mark D'Antonio, he was a guy that had coached under Nick Saban as well. But, you know, but he also coached under Jim Tressel and learned a lot of things about how to treat people. And, you know, I think Kirby Smart's got a lot of people skills and brings a lot more to the table in some respects than Nick Saban does. I mean, Kirby Smart, you know, played the game at the highest, you know, collegiate level here at Georgia. You know, he was an All-SEC guy and an All-Academic selection. And, you know, you look at his wife, and they're already giving their money back through the Kirby Smart Football Foundation. You know, he does a lot of things different than Alabama, too. So, you know, the fact that he worked for Nick Saban, I mean, yeah, that's great, but I think it's oversimplifying and, you know, maybe not seeing a lot of the things that Kirby Smart does differently than Nick Saban. I get a different sense, guys, just from, you know, the rub I've gotten from Kirby. I mean, he's not Nick Saban 2.0, and I think in a lot of ways Georgia fans should be thankful for that.
Talking with Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.
I guess first a quick personal question, Mike. I heard you on Dog Nation Daily this week. You just moved into Athens, right? Did you get all settled in somewhere here in the city?
Yeah, living downtown. It's nice.
Oh, good deal. Mm-hmm. So we like to tout and tell everybody we are the best college town in America. I think a lot of rankings put us there, too. But what are your first initial thoughts of just this part of the world?
Yeah, the campus is beautiful. I mean, it's kind of the best of everything, you know, when you think about it. I mean, you've got this great downtown area. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Ann Arbor in terms of the culture and the restaurants and, you know, the taverns and things like that. So there's plenty of entertainment downtown. And then you've got that gorgeous, you know, kind of old South campus that, you know, there's nothing like it. I mean, it's certainly beautiful, the architecture and the way it flows together, the hills. You've got that. But then you've got this beautiful rural setting right outside, you know, the town. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Michigan State. You know, you've got some area to breathe. You know, once you leave Athens, you know, you got a little greenery out there that you can check out. So It's pretty much got everything but the air conditioning. I keep waiting for the breeze. I mean, if you use your imagination and you know, imagine a 10-mile-an-hour breeze cooling things off, you could be in Hawaii. But unfortunately, the only thing missing here is the ocean. You know, it's hot. That's the one thing I will say. It's hot.
Check back in around mid-October. That breeze might start whistling its way through the campus. But one of your colleagues, Jeff Sintel, covers recruiting there at Dog Nation, put a blog up yesterday just sort of outlining the level of talent that's on this Georgia roster this year, something that I don't think Georgia fans have seen for a long time, if ever, in terms of just star quality. But I think 21 players on this year's roster will have been given a five-star status at one point or another by one of the recruiting services. What can Georgia fans expect sort of just in terms of that depth chart and how they're going to look this season, even coming off when losing a lot of production with some of those seniors and Roquan Smith leaving early? But I don't expect much drop-off. How are you viewing the roster at Georgia and what they can do in 2018 as opposed to the years after this?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, on paper, it looks great. But, you know, those questions haven't been answered yet. I mean, they got to find a catalyst. They got to find a leader. You mentioned the loss of Roquan Smith, and I don't think people should undervalue how important he was. I mean, I'll flash back here. You know, I know some people remember, but you know, 1998, Tennessee won a national title. They brought back a lot of talent in '99, and we all thought they were going to win another national title. But one of the guys they lost was their middle linebacker, a guy named Al Wilson. He's probably headed for the College Football Hall of Fame this year, and he was the straw that stirred the drink. They weren't the same team without their leader out there. They had seven guys picked in the first two rounds in 1999, and they won nine games and lost three. So don't underestimate the value of that leadership. You know, so a lot depends on whether, and my point is can Georgia find another leader? Can they find another catalyst? How determined are they? You know, and I said it on Feinbaum's show last month. I mean, second and 26 is a part of Georgia history. And I know some people cringe and they never want to hear it again, but it's never going to go away. The question is, what role does it play? Is it what triggers Georgia into their own dynasty? Is it what motivates these guys to push through the summer, to persevere, to finish games, to carry out assignments in the secondary, and win a national championship? Or is it going to be what we all point to and say, boy, look how close Georgia got? And, you know, that's up to this team to decide. You know, the guys that moved on, Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, Roquan Davis, they can't change it. They're gone. But the guys that are still here have an opportunity to change that narrative. And that's what we're determining right now. That's why Kirby's pushing them hard this summer. That's why he kind of cringed when the lightning struck. He had to go inside. He wants the hot weather work. I'll say this. This may be the best conditioned football team I've ever covered. I'm really impressed with the way these guys push through their workouts, their physical appearances. You know, this is a really well-conditioned and well-built team. But as far as, you know, what's going on between the ear holes and, you know how the heart beats in the second half of these games and what they're willing to push through, I think that's yet to be determined.
Any players, like you're talking about the conditioning, that have kind of jumped out at you more than some of the others?
You know, I like Riley Ridley a lot. I think he looks good. And I like James Cook. I've liked him from the time I saw him on film. You know, this guy brings some juice to it. He's a dynamic player. He's a potential game changer. I don't know how much he's going to be used. I haven't seen enough of Swift yet. I mean, Swift looked, you know, he looked pretty good last year. I'm not, you know, blown away yet. I mean, I need to see more. I don't think the guy doesn't have a 100-yard game yet in his career. I mean, I'm not ready to hand him the Heisman. The quarterback play is obviously incredible. I mean, Fromm is a great leader. He's strong and sturdy as they come. And the way Fields throws the ball, I've never seen a freshman with this much arm talent. But, again, there's so many questions left to be answered. You know, I don't know what the personality of this team is going to be. I really don't. And, you know, we haven't talked to the quarterbacks yet. Kirby's kind of kept it behind the curtain. I mean, you know, he sent us some solid players, but we haven't talked to any of these dynamic playmakers that we're discussing. I mean, Kirby's kind of keeping it hidden. I don't know if, you know, the cook's kind of guarding the recipe right now or what, but it's hard to really know, you know, what the heartbeat and what the mode of this team is. And maybe it's still in the making. Maybe that's why Kirby Smart's not ready to trot him out there yet. But, you know, I think it certainly says something about the quarterback competition, you know, that Kirby hasn't let Jake Fromm talk yet. I think that tells you, you know, a lot of people have doubted the competition. Hey, listen, I think Jake Fromm's going to start the first game too. But there's competition going on, and that's real.
Yeah, and that, you're right. That is interesting. We know we're not going to hear from Fields since he's a freshman, but the Fromm side out of it as well. And Kirby's gone out of his way, too, to say it ain't just quarterback. It's every position out there that has strong competition, too. So I know that's going to be interesting to see how he kind of lays all that out here in the preseason before that first game.
Yeah, that's good news. I mean, that's what prevents teams from becoming complacent. You know, I made that reference to 99 Tennessee, and I could reference other teams. I covered a couple of Michigan State teams that won Big Ten championships. When guys get complacent, when they go to work, I mean, think about it. Anybody listening can apply this to your job. The people that go to work knowing you got a job every single day, your job's secure, your job's safe, you're not going to be as motivated as somebody that goes, you know what, my job's on the line. They just hired a guy in the cubicle next to me, and, you know, they're going to keep the guy that produces the most. I mean, think about going to work with that type of pressure every day. And that's what these Georgia players have right now. A lot of these older guys that are going to, we all assume, or they assume leadership or assume starting positions, well, that may not be the case. Because you look at the last couple classes that have come in, and what is there, like 11 five-star? I mean, there's a lot of really, there's an influx of talent coming into Georgia. So all of a sudden that guy that's been doing his job, that's been waiting his turn, you know, man, I've been here 3 years, it's my time. Well, not just for showing up. You better step it up because there's a guy they brought in behind you. There's a freshman, or there's a sophomore, or there's a redshirt that's there to take your job. So there's not a lot of time for complacency on this Georgia football team because there's so much new talent in there. Now, you know, the net effect of that, you know, we don't know what type of effect that's going to have in the locker room. You know, we don't know. You know, when juniors and seniors start losing their jobs, chemistry can go south quickly unless you've got that leader, unless you've got that catalyst that I was talking about to start this conversation. You've got to have the right guys in the locker room to say, hey, team first. Because if you don't, your locker room can get turned upside down in a hurry.
Mike, you mentioned some of those running backs, and a lot of folks around here are excited about some of the younger guys and DeAndre Swift, I guess, finally being that feature back, and maybe he will get that 100-yard game sooner rather than later because of that. But a big factor in the excitement around the running backs is the offensive line Georgia is putting together or has put together. What are you seeing at practice? What are you hearing, perhaps, that may solidify some of those optimisms around the big boys on the front line?
Well, I think they made Kendall available yesterday, and you know he didn't take any time off this summer. You know, and I kept thinking this guy's 305 pounds. Surely this guy's not 300. He didn't look through it. You know why he didn't look 305 pounds? Because he's solid. He didn't have that, you know, blubber gut over his belt like, you know, three-fourths of the collegiate linemen they're trying to put on weight and can't keep it up with the condition. This guy's he's the small one. Let's call him Tiny. I mean, he's 305. He's tiny compared to the other guys. The Georgia offensive line is massive. And, you know, Jim Cheney is an absolute genius. And I know that there's people that always second-guess the offense coordinator. It's the easiest coach to second-guess because we all watch the ball. We all say, he should have done this, he should have done that. And they don't know that the head coach is in the headset saying, you run the ball. When you got a defensive-minded coach, they're only going to want as much offense as they think they need. I saw D'Antonio do it over and over and over. Once you get a 10-point, Gene Stallings was the same way. Once you get a 10-point lead, they ain't putting the ball in the air. They ain't taking chances. Listen, Jim Cheney works for Kirby Smart. The reason I like Jim is he can do things a lot of different ways. It starts with that massive offensive line. They can protect the quarterback, and they can run block. I think you got the trigger, whether it's Fromm or Fields or both, because both of those guys are amazing. The question I have is, you know, can your receivers become consistent? Do you got a game breaker in there? You know, we're waiting on D-Rob. Let me tell you, that's a big one to wait on. If he gets eligible, he's a playmaker. That's a difference-maker kind of guy. That's the kind of guy that makes the kind of play that win football games. And then the running back. You know, I know there's a lot of them, and you know, I've already got myself in trouble on the Dog Nation forum for writing it, but I don't know if I see a bell cow back. I don't see that 225, 230-pound guy that's going to wear teams down in the second half. I see a lot of you know, fast, quick guys that can do a lot of different things, but who's the man? Who's the go-to guy? I don't know that I've seen that yet. I don't know if Georgia knows who that is yet.
Guys, let me ask you another quick question here. Just to make sure, you were covering Tennessee last season. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, the last two seasons.
Okay, just a quick question. I'm sure our listeners are a little bit curious, just a little bit of have some fun here for a second. What was the mood like, or what kind of stories did you write the day after Georgia went up to Neyland Stadium last year and dropped that 41-0. We call it the no-no in Neyland. A lot of folks around here have waited their entire life basically to put a thumping on the Vols in that capacity in Neyland Stadium. But just what was the mood around that program and the stories you had to write the day after that game?
I said on Feinbaum's show the Thursday before that they were going to lose by at least 2 touchdowns. I can't believe people didn't see it coming. Georgia was the best team in college football last season. I mean, they were the best. Georgia was the – I'll say it again. They were the – and Alabama fans, well, you know what? Alabama shouldn't have been in the playoffs. They didn't win their own division. But that's for another day. We can talk about that another day. Georgia, I saw it coming a mile away. I thought Tennessee – they did some really stupid things. They had some – their administration was so poor. I don't know why Greg McGarry doesn't get more credit here, because let me tell you, Georgia's leadership has put this school on such solid footing. They make good decisions. Who in the world decided – that would be the game to checker Neyland Stadium and bring Peyton Manning back? Whose decision was that?
And where the smoky grays, yeah.
I understand the uniform. They're looking for, you know, you grab whatever motivation you can because you see the storm coming. Georgia was, you knew Georgia was going to kick their tails, but there was just a lot of bad decisions. The administration was poor. You know, last season was the collapse of the infrastructure. It wasn't just Butch Jones. Butch Jones came in there and in 4 years took a team that was, 2-14 in the SEC and won, you know, 3 straight bowl games and back-to-back top 25 seasons. And if not for, you know, several injuries in 2016, you know, that was a top 10 team the first half of the season. And then he just got devastated by injuries. But the point of the matter is the infrastructure there was horrible. The leadership was horrible. The head coach wasn't allowed to hire the coaches he wanted to hire, invest in the strength coach that he wanted. There was a lot of things that went wrong. So the mood the day after, you know, a lot of fans thought Butch Jones was going to be fired based on that game. That wasn't the case. You know, and so the story I was writing in the ESPN, you know, report I did was, you know, hey, he's not getting fired yet, folks. It's not over yet. If Butch Jones can win out from the Kentucky game on, I mean, it was a given they were going to lose to Alabama. If he can win out from the Kentucky game and sweep through November, he can save his job. But that's when the drums started beating. That's when the lynch mob crowd came out. And, you know, there was even some journalists that, you know, started doing some questionable things, you know, misquoting Butch Jones, you know, things like that, on putting things out on Twitter. And things went south in a hurry after that game, though.
Well, because you were covering Tennessee for a couple seasons, you do know that program much better than I think anybody around these parts. What do you think about the Jeremy Pruitt hire, and how long until that may be a legitimate threat to what Kirby Smart is putting together here in Athens?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, I think it's a boom or bust deal. You know, more important was Philip Fulmer being hired. I mean, no offense to Jeremy, and I covered Jeremy when he played at Alabama, actually, when he was a walk-on there. But the fact that Tennessee's hired Philip Fulmer, that has an AD that's going to provide the funds, that's going to make the decisions that are going to help football out, that's the best thing to happen for Tennessee, and whoever the head coach is. You know, you got to have – that's why I talked about Georgia's athletic director. You know, people need to understand it starts at the top. I mean, you got to have a guy in place that can work with your head coach and understands, you know, how to direct the funds and help make the right hires, increase the skids for your head coach to have success. Again, people listening know that. You can be the best worker in the world, but if your boss is an a-hole, you're going to have a hard time having any kind of success at your job. The fact that Tennessee's hired Philip Fulmer – gives Jeremy Pruitt a chance for success. You know, he was able to go out and give guaranteed 3-year contracts to coaches and hire the second highest paid strength coach in the country now. I got some questions about the guys that Jeremy's hired. Has Kevin Shearer ever been a defensive coordinator before? Has Ty Helton ever been an offensive coordinator before? So there's a lot of questions there. You know, the bad news for Tennessee and really everybody else in the East is you can have a top 10 recruiting class and still be losing ground on Georgia. Because what Kirby Smart and George is doing right now is on another level. I mean, the number of 5-stars they've gotten, it's unbelievable. And the talent just keeps coming. And there's such a good, positive vibe over there. You know, you look at the facilities. Again, you guys asked me, you know, earlier in this conversation, what about Athens? I mean, if you're a college football player, what more could you possibly want? You look at the coaches that Kirby has on his staff. You look at the school, look at the academic rating of Georgia. I don't know how often people follow that, but, you know, I follow it. I've got a son who's going to transfer schools here in a year. I'm trying to talk him into coming down here because of the education at Georgia. So you've got the football facilities, you've got the education, you've got the town. I mean, you're an hour away from an airport that can take you anywhere in the world on a direct flight. I mean, what's not to like about Georgia? So, oh, okay, maybe Tennessee's doing good. Maybe they got a top 10 class. That's great. Georgia's going to be in the top two or three. Good luck. I mean, when is it going to end? I don't know. I mean, hard to say, but this looks like the start of something special to me.
Mike, great talking to you. Thanks so much for taking the time. We look forward to our regular chats throughout the season here as we're getting closer and closer to kickoff. Mike, thanks so much.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.